Hello, and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And the first one comes from Forks Over Knives and is titled Tips for Visiting Friends and Family Who Are Not Plant-Based by Rip Esselstyn, November 8, 2022. Visiting friends and family who are not plant-based can be very tricky and requires a delicate balance of grace and diplomacy. You want to do your best to stick to the Plant Strong plan, but you don't want to offend your hosts. Here are some tips that will absolutely help you navigate these prickly waters. Number one, always offer to bring a dish or two to share. Start by calling the host and express how excited and thankful you are to come to their home. Let them know you've been on a roll with your Plant Strong eating program and you don't want to put them out by having to prepare a separate dish just for you. 2. A dinner party where everyone is eating standard American food is not the best place to discuss all of your nutrition knowledge. Even if someone asks or brings it up, you can tell them, "I'd love to tell you about it, but now is not the time or place. Let's talk sometime soon or go to lunch." 3. Use Doug Lazile's seam strategy. If there are people who are insistent in asking about what you're eating, there's a simple answer that helps diffuse the most persistent people. If someone starts questioning you about your diet, simply respond, "It seems to be working for me." 4. Compliment the host. Even if you can't eat the food served, be sure to compliment the host on how nice everything looks, and also be sure to thank them for inviting you. 5. Eat before you go as an insurance policy. When you have no idea what food will be offered, it's a good idea to fill your belly with a healthy, plant-strong snack or meal beforehand. This will keep you satisfied and prevent you from diving into the contraband. A hungry tummy makes mental midgets out of all of us. 6. Bring dessert. Everyone loves dessert. I love bringing some of my favorites: blueberry dumpster cobbler, date nut crust fruit pie, or fruit salad with lemon zest. Everyone loves all of these, and they are super easy to make. 7. Sometimes the host will offer to make a dish you can eat. Give them some suggestions and tell them what Plant Strong means. Again, be sure to thank the host for their time and for being so considerate of the way that you eat. 8. Drink water and skip the booze. Be sure to keep yourself hydrated with water during parties. This way, you're not only being the designated driver, but also the responsible eater. Remember that it's not about it's not all about the food. I love hanging out with my family and friends. Sometimes we make social engagements all about food when they should be about the people who are there. One of the wonderful things I have discovered is that the longer you stay on the Plant Strong path, the more friends you'll find in your life who are also Plant Strong. When you find yourself visiting friends and family who do not follow the Plant Strong code of conduct, remember that you are the only one responsible for your health, and nobody cares about your health and well-being as much as you. Stay Plant Strong. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you whole food, plant-based nutrition. And also from Forks Over Knives, an article on wellness entitled 10 Tips from a Pediatrician, How to Feed Your Plant-Based Family Without Losing Your Mind, by Dr. Reshma Shah, MD, July 27, 2016. Increasingly, people are realizing that what we put on our plates can have more of an impact on our health than most pills or procedures. For some, making personal changes around food is daunting in and of itself. Add to that the job of feeding an entire family, and it may feel downright impossible. Between picky eaters, demanding schedules, and varying tastes, it's easy to see how creating family meals that nourish both the body and soul seem unattainable. Speaking on a personal level, I know that transitioning to a plant-based diet is not always smooth sailing. Here are some tips and lessons that I've learned to help you feed your family without losing your mind. For those who are new parents or have very young children, it's much easier to have a positive influence on their food choices. Number one, be a role model. If your toddler sees you slurping down a juicy mango or eating a crisp snap peas with delight, it's going to look much more appealing. In short, walk the talk. Those little creatures are smart, and they'll figure it out if you're not authentic. Two, offer a variety, but not too many, of great choices. Provide two or three choices without placing any attachment to either choice. Apples or banana for a snack. Let them have a say, but set them up for success. Three, you don't have to be a short order cook. I've made this mistake myself, so I say this with much personal experience. Make one meal for the whole family with small accommodations as needed, as in spice level, food allergies, size of bites, etc. If you start out making something different for everyone at the table, this will become your reality on a daily basis, and that is exhausting. Four, be patient and calm when introducing new foods. Remember, it can take upwards of 10 times for a child to enjoy a new food. Try to keep the mood pleasant and certainly avoid getting into food battles. If you have school-aged children or adolescents who have firm preferences and dislikes, it can be a bit more challenging. Five, invite instead of impose. Nobody likes to be told what to do. If you've made some personal changes and are excited to share them with your family, don't be surprised if not everyone jumps on board right away. The first step may simply be to have a large salad at every meal, making sure to include foods that you know will be greeted with joy. 6. Don't be sneaky. In addition to being told what to do, nobody likes to be tricked. The few leaves of hearty kale you covertly mixed into their morning smoothie could backfire. If little ones detect bitterness or a less sweet version of their favorite smoothie, they will learn to distrust your offerings. A different approach could be, I've added a secret ingredient, and I'm wondering if you can figure out what it is. Or, allow them to throw in as many leaves of spinach that they'd like and gradually work your way up. 7. Make it fun and creative. Turning anything into a bar, as in salad bar, taco bar, rice bowls, etc., is a great way to get kids to try new ingredients or combinations. It also gives them some control over the meal by allowing them to add which and how much of each ingredient. Although it sounds cliche, I find that when kids are actively involved with the food, from menu planning and shopping to chopping and simmering, they feel more invested and a part of the whole process. A quick example that comes to mind is our family's search for the perfect pesto. Many store-bought pestos contain dairy, and my son is allergic to tree nuts. So he decided he would search for a nut-free pesto recipe. We made a few small changes and together created a spinach basil pesto that has become a family favorite. Don't feel pressured to have them involved with every meal. I like to think of it as an open door policy. They're welcome anytime. Sometimes it's as involved as helping to cook an entire meal, and other times it's just wanting to have the fun of sautéing some onions or giving a quick stir to a soup. 8. Be a good listener. If your child really dislikes something, be willing to hear them out and offer a reasonable substitute. I'm not talking about being a short order cook, but if there is something you can do that makes the meal more enjoyable, go for it. One of my kids really dislikes warm or sautéed snap peas. So when I make a stir fry, I set aside a handful of snap peas so that he can enjoy them raw. 9. Focus on the journey. I would argue that as important as it is to fuel our families with nutritious foods, we have an even greater responsibility as parents to teach our kids about food choices so that they can make good decisions away from our dinner tables. Pushing one more bite of greens or two more bites of anything is not the end goal. Don't forget that food and family meals connect us. Yes, food should be nutritious, but it should also be delicious and most definitely shared. It's not always easy to do, but when we focus more on the conversation than the number of bites of broccoli, everyone feels more relaxed. 10. Be kind to yourself and have patience. We are all just learning, experimenting, and growing. When things don't go smoothly or are downright disastrous, be flexible and ask your troop for their ideas and help. You are listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Our next article comes from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Community is an Essential Health Need by Nelson Huber Disla, November 7, 2024. Psychologists and sociologists have long known how important a sense of belonging is for overall welfare. It is a powerful, fundamental, and extremely pervasive motivation, write the authors of an article published in Psychological Bulletin. Abraham Maslow, the psychologist famous for conceptualizing the hierarchy of needs, which he published in his 1943 paper, A Theory of Human Motivation, wrote of the need for love and belongingness that emerges after basic safety and physiological needs are met. This need binds us all. The presence or lack of community affects everyone regardless of sex, gender, age, nationality, creed, or location. From children seeking a sense of belonging in their schools to the elderly in nursing homes. Increasingly, public health authorities have emphasized this need not only for our mental health, but also our physical health. Research shows that belongingness affects our likelihood of developing disease and our ability to achieve positive outcomes once certain diseases have progressed. Most importantly, social isolation increases overall mortality risk. While there may be some uncertainty about how best to apply these findings, for example, some have questioned the efficacy of social prescribing services in the UK's National Health Service, NHS. There is clearly a need and an appetite for initiatives that support increased community engagement. How does community support promote health? The mortality data is striking. Just to give a couple of examples, after adjusting for many potentially confounding variables, including smoking, drinking, and exercise frequency, researchers found that each standard deviation increase in perceived neighborhood cohesion decreased the risk of heart attack and stroke by 22 and 15% respectively. Moreover, as mentioned above, the importance of community goes beyond prevention. Decades of research have confirmed that it also supports survival after traumatic events have occurred, for example, in the months or years following a heart attack. The pathways explaining community's protective effects are likely to be multiple and include behavioral mechanisms and more direct physiological pathways related to neuroendocrine or immunologic function. While effects of community belongingness on behavior change can vary by context, urban versus rural communities, for example, may affect behavior change differently, research has found a consistent association between the sense of belonging and the pursuit of positive diet and exercise behavior changes. Perceptions of community have also been found to increase the likelihood of people using certain preventative healthcare services. Generalizing these findings, it seems that community support increased motivation and productivity. And really, are there any more critical traits than these when it comes to maintaining a healthy lifestyle? What is a health-promoting community? This question may seem elementary, but there is a lot to consider. On the most basic level, we must have meaningful relationships, but at what cost? Is there a point at which the benefits of a community might be outweighed by unhealthy behaviors within those community spaces? What if your preferred way to achieve those relationships is to hang out at your favorite local bar every night and drink excessively? The ideal, of course, is to find a community that supports your healthiest behaviors. However, the goal is not to become a passive recipient of that support. A health-supporting community should also empower you to feel more individually capable. For social support to be health-promoting, it must help people to be more competent and self-efficacious. Likewise, studies show that a healthy community is one in which you actively buy in and believe in the value of what you are doing. Perceptions of community might sometimes be even more important than community itself. A study of perceived social cohesion in Japan illustrates this well. Researchers found that individual-level cohesion was associated with reduced all-cause mortality, pulmonary disease mortality, and cardiovascular disease mortality, but community-level cohesion did not have a statistically significant association with mortality risk. The health of cohesive communities, they write, appears to be more a reflection of the psychological perceptions of the residents than an attribute of the collective. Just like their members, communities come in all shapes and sizes. A community could be a formal or informal group. It could be a church or a neighborhood. It could occupy a physical or virtual space. Interpersonal relationships within all of these categories are valuable. And just in case you think it's somehow crucial that you find and attach yourself to a large community, think again. Strong dyads and triads, which are connections between groups of two or three people, are also predictive of better health outcomes. Nothing illustrates this more emphatically than mortality data on married individuals versus single, divorced, or widowed individuals. Widowhood's harmful association with mortality exemplifies the relationship between social support and health, write the authors of an analysis published in 2013. Controlling for age and gender, they found that becoming widowed was associated with a nearly 50% increase in mortality risk. Be deliberate and reap the rewards. Few who come to truly appreciate the profound health benefits of a whole food, plant-based dietary lifestyle would think to starve themselves of its healthiest foods. Why should we not hold our social lives to the same standards? Knowing the role healthy relationships play in our well-being, why would we ever avoid them? Who would willingly choose to abstain from having community? This is not to suggest that finding and cultivating a community is easy. In many ways, it can be much harder than eating healthy foods. Depending on your circumstances, you may find few people in your area with whom you would like to forge relationships. And even once you have found your people, maintaining a strong community requires deliberate effort. Communities can very quickly erode if neglected. The proof of eroding communities is everywhere. Only around 50% of Americans report feeling close to people in their communities, according to a recent survey conducted by Pew Research Center. And young Americans are even more likely to feel distant from the people in their communities. We are not doomed to live in isolation, though. For every grim trend on this subject, we can choose to see the potential. Now, more than ever, we need to cultivate community in the spaces where we can. That's what we're trying to do with CNS Kitchen and Whole Communities, two free online platforms. It's also something we work really hard to create at our in-person events. If you haven't joined us for one of those events or on these platforms, we would love to hear from you. In the meantime, what are you doing to get out and meet people where you live? How has community involvement played a role in your own health journey? And in order to find those websites, you can just go to CNS Kitchen or Whole Communities. You have been listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.